And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Great to be with you again today. Thank you all, as always, so very much for your prayers, for your support, for tuning in to listen to this podcast. I am profoundly grateful. Please tell a friend. I don't know whether I've ever said this on the podcast before, but did you know that this podcast was ranked one of the top 50 Christian podcasts in America? That's right. I think we landed somewhere around 28, 29. That's quite an honor, you know, and it's because of you all. Thank you so very, very much for making the Awakening Podcast successful, just as you did my radio program when I was on daily. So I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful first and foremost to God. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Tim and Walker and the Wildman family and to Brother Don for having had the vision to pursue this and make this possible. So thank you. God bless each and every one of you. I first of all want to say something that to some extent is only going to apply to the people in Virginia. And it's rather late. You all know that we've got an election coming up in Virginia. And of course, American Family Radio, we don't endorse candidates. We don't support candidates. We don't contribute to candidates. We're a 501c3 organization. But I do want to tell you about a candidate that I happen to personally know. He's a Marine Corps veteran, Chuck Smith, who is trying to get on the ballot to run for U.S. Senate. And as a result of some things that have happened in his campaign, he may be falling short. And the due date is Thursday, April the 2nd at 5 p.m. for getting all your signatures in. If you're living in Virginia and you want to help a candidate get on the ballot, you don't even have to necessarily be supporting a particular candidate. And that's not what this is about, okay? This is not about asking you to support a particular candidate. Just about giving somebody an opportunity to be heard, an opportunity to participate in the process. And this is a great man of God. He's a godly man. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He's a dear friend. He's a man of decency and honor and integrity. Happens to be a very experienced practicing lawyer. Practiced law even while he was in the Corps, in the JAG Corps. So I just want to encourage you all to pray for him and help him get on the ballot. And then, you know, look at all the candidates and make a determination of who you like on for that matter, on either side. Of course, you know which side I come down on, you know, but and I probably know which side most of you come down on. We're really looking for people who have conservative principles. And I'll tell you, I'm particularly looking for people who are going to stand up for the legacy bequeathed to us from George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Patrick Henry and James Monroe, these great godly men with vision and, frankly, intellectual brilliance who laid the foundation for the greatest nation in the history of mankind. You know, there is a slogan. I didn't realize this until I was at an event last night and somebody brought it up because I didn't know. But there's a slogan for the 250th anniversary committee in Virginia, and it's America Made in Virginia. I love that America Made in Virginia, because in so many ways Virginia was in fact the state that God used to lay the foundational work for what became the United States of America. The delegates from Virginia came to the Constitutional Convention with the Virginia Plan. Thomas Jefferson had already written the equivalent of First Amendment in the Virginia Constitution. And it was James Madison who is called the father of the Constitution because he brought so many ideas to the constitutional debate. George Mason, another Virginian, was a champion for the Bill of Rights. I mean, folks, God really used Virginia in so many ways. And, you know, I really I am godly proud to be a Virginian. You all may not know this. A lot of people around Virginia know who've heard me speak around Virginia. My roots in Virginia go back 200 years. My great-grandfather was born the year before George Washington died, Gabriel Jackson. My grandfather was born on July 4th, 1874 in Orange County, Virginia. I really believe God has providentially brought me to Virginia. My wife and I moved from Massachusetts to Virginia because we really felt the calling of God to come. And I don't want to see that great legacy that's been bequeathed to us, to our nation, as well as to every Virginian. I don't want to see that lost in the political and moral quagmire that these leftists are really trying to force on the entire country. And trying to force on Virginia. You know, on some sort of spiritual level, I really feel that the devil is saying, well, if I can take Virginia, I can take the country. If I can take away the legacy of these founding fathers, as they're called, if I can rip them apart, if I can just rip up that foundation, I can destroy the whole thing. We can't allow that to happen. You know, I really believe what happens in Virginia ought to be relevant to every single American, no matter where you live. If you care about this country and you care about our legacy, it ought to be important to you. And I'll be talking to you more about that. I'm gonna be starting something in June. It doesn't officially kick off until July 4th, but the first foray into it will begin in June. I'm gonna be doing an event in South Carolina and an event in North Carolina called the Truth Tour, Facts About American History You Were Never Taught. And what the purpose of that is to help people understand the truth about American history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's so much good, there's so much nobility, but you won't hear about that in these indoctrination propaganda volumes that have been written on American history that are really designed to make people hate our country. I mean, for the most famous history book probably taught our children and probably influencing most of the government schools today is Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. That thing is an abomination. If you've never heard of it, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, it is nothing but a Marxist diatribe against the United States of America. All the dumb stuff that people believe about our country. Well, we were built on slavery. We stole the land from the native. All that dumb stuff. And it's all dumb stuff. It really is. The least little bit of scrutiny and it falls apart. But all that stuff, a lot of it at least, came out of Howard Zinn's book. Because Howard Zinn was a communist. But he wrote A People's History of the United States. And guess what? That book is still in most government schools in our country, even though they won't cite that it's Howard Zinn. The ideas expressed in that book have found their way into the government schools. Well, why wouldn't they? Because you got a leftist teachers union that buys, or teachers unions that buy into all of that stuff. And of course they're going to propagate and perpetrate that stuff on the students of the United States. And as I said, turn them into little Marxist automatons. People need to know the truth about our history. And the truth about our history is, no, we're not a perfect nation. But I'll tell you what, we are a noble nation. A noble nation. So stand by for that. It's called the Truth Tour. By the way, if you'd like to invite me to your church, to your group, to your nonprofit, to talk about, because I'll have a number of these speeches, but to talk about some of these ideas that God has given me that need to be expressed so that people can better understand who we are as a country. Because I'm convinced it's easy to fool people. That's why communists are absolutely expert at changing history, because they know that if people know the true history, they're harder to fool about everything else. But if you can get them to buy into lies about the history, well, then you can lie to them about a whole bunch of stuff, because they don't have the foundation that would allow them to refute the lies. So I hope in speaking about what's going on in Virginia right now, you all understand, I really believe that it's relevant to every American, no matter where you are in listening to this podcast or watching it as well, because we're now videoing these as well. So that's number one. Number two, I want to remind you again, except I got something in addition I want to make you aware of, that my organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, STAND, that's what the acronym is for, Staying True to America's National Destiny, is holding our STAND Awards Dinner on Tuesday, May 12th at the Tysons Corner Marriott in Tysons, Virginia. Again, Tuesday, May the 12th, 7 p.m., and you are invited to come. Now, I've got good news for the American Family Radio listening audience. Because American Family Radio is a sponsor of the event, we have a table of 10 to make available to whosoever will of our audience wants to come. Now, let me just say, we're asking that you take no more than two tickets. That's number one, no more than two. And to access those tickets, all you have to do is email us at awardsdinner, just like it sounds, at standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. And just identify yourself, give us your contact information, and say, I'd like to have two tickets to the dinner, please. And we'll be happy to accommodate you. Now, we do make some exceptions for entire families. You just have to let us know exactly what your situation is. If you've got, for example, someone who is disabled that needs to be with you, or whatever the reason might be, we do make exceptions. But generally, ask people to stick to two tickets maximum, because that allows us to accommodate five families at that table. So that's number one. That's awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. Now, here's the second thing, and this is a little proviso. Please, if you take those tickets or you reserve two seats, and then you later realize you are not going to make it, please let us know at least 2 weeks in advance. That means you've got, if you reserve two seats today, as you hear this program, and then you find out up to a month from now that you can't make it, please let us know. Because in letting us know, it means we can either replace those by providing those seats to someone else, or we can save ourselves the money of paying for those dinners. And those dinners are quite expensive. And it really is. We thank God for American Family Radio and their love and support. And I don't want to waste their money. And most of you are contributing to it. Contributing to AFR, and you don't want to waste their money either. So if you're coming, great. We are glad to have you come at no cost to you as an AFR listener. But if you find out you can't come, just please let us know at least 2 weeks in advance so that we can either, again, replace those tickets or provide those tickets to other people, or simply save the money of not paying for those dinners. So that's the only proviso. So just, again, email us at awardsdinner@standinc, that's STANDINC.net, and just identify you yourself, give us your contact information, say, yes, I'm coming, I'd like to reserve two tickets, please, and whoever those for, and give the names of whoever those tickets are for yourself and whoever your guest will be. Is it husband and wife, or mother and daughter, or father and daughter, or father and son, whatever. But just give us the two names of who those are for and give us your contact information, and we will be happy to accommodate you, courtesy of American Family Radio and American Family Association. Okay. And by the way, I've already given you the information that you need, but go to standamerica.us to find out more about the dinner. standamerica.us, including who we're honoring at the dinner, standamerica.us. And you can make a contribution, you can buy tickets, you can sponsor, you can buy a reserved table, you can sponsor, you can do something on your own if you choose to do that. Okay, first story I want to deal with here is, We had a big decision this week, a big decision by the United States Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court decided earlier this week that conversion therapy can no longer be outlawed by the state of Colorado. Now, you all know what I'm talking about when I say conversion therapy. These leftist states have banned this. Working with, and they banned it particularly for youth, but working with a young person or adult, I don't know why they would ban it for adults anyway, because, you know, an adult can make a decision on their own. But they had banned it for youth, saying you can't help a child who says, I don't want to be a homosexual, I don't want to have these impulses towards same-sex affections. I don't want any of that in my life. I reject that. That's not really who I am. I need help in trying to deal with that. Because, you know, a lot of this stuff comes from people having been molested and all of that kind of stuff. So, but these states outlawed, Colorado is one of them, outlawed giving therapy to somebody to help them get delivered from these same-sex attractions. And if you were caught doing it, you'd be fined $5,000. Well, the Supreme Court, in an 8-1 decision, said you cannot ban that therapy, because they said to do so is to violate the First Amendment rights of the therapist. And it is to engage in point of view discrimination, which is happening all over the country. It's just rampant all over the country, because the Christian biblical worldview is being discriminated against across America, even as we speak. And I'm going to come back to that very point in a second and show you how this is happening, because I want you to be aware of it, because I think this is something that is not being fully addressed. I hope that President Trump's Justice Department is addressing it. But I'm telling you, I think that there is a lot of stuff going on under the cover, if you will, without anything really being said or announced. And Christians are being denied opportunities and promotions and being fired from their jobs. And they're not being told the real reasons why. But the real reason has to do with their biblical worldview. But the Supreme Court, in an 8-1 decision, has said conversion therapy may not be banned by the state of Colorado. Justice Gorsuch wrote the majority of opinion. I'm glad he got this one right, because he certainly didn't get it right in Obergefell. But he made clear this is point of view discrimination. This is First Amendment discrimination. This case should have been one subject to strict scrutiny, because you are restricting the First Amendment freedom. And, you know, you can't do that without it coming under the strict scrutiny of the court to determine whether there is, as the court says, a compelling state interest for encroaching on these fundamental rights. It's not that these rights are absolute. They may be encroached upon, but when they are encroached upon, there must be a compelling state interest that overrides that particular right. And they said, in this case, that analysis, that strict scrutiny was not taken. And when you take that and apply it, they said, conversion therapy fails. 8-1. Now, here is what you really need to know. I wanted to give you the name of this case, but I don't see it here. But if I see it, I'll give it to you. But this was just decided this week, so it won't be hard for you to find it. Here's the thing that I find the most interesting about this. Well, that it's an 8-1 decision is just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. 8 Supreme Court justices looked at 8 of them, including then 2 of the liberals. Because what do we got? Well, we really kind of got 6-3 sometimes. Who was the justice that said they were all the others were wrong. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Right, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the one who, when asked during her nomination hearings, what is a woman, answered, I don't know. I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is. Which means, I wish someone had followed up and said, so that does that mean that you cannot classify yourself as a woman since you don't know what one is? I mean, I would have loved to have asked that question and see how she would have answered that. Because then she'd have said, well, I don't know if I'm a woman or not. I have to consult with a biologist. Well, that might have ended her nomination if someone had asked that question and she'd given that dumb an answer. But let me just say for the record, this is just one man's opinion, but I would think that all of mankind would share it. I think this is the dumbest woman that has ever sat on the Supreme Court. She may be one of the dumbest women that's ever sat in the history of mankind. How do you get that dumb and get on the Supreme Court? Which just goes to show what DEI produces. That she somehow believes that children are going to be significantly harmed if someone says to them, you don't have to be a homosexual. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like the same load of horse manure that is shoveled at parents when they say, I don't want my child to have hormones to try to block puberty, and I don't want my child to be injected with hormones to try to change his or her gender, and I don't want my child operated on to cut off my son's genitalia, to cut off my daughter's breasts. I don't want that, and I'm not having that. If they persist in wanting to do that when they're an adult, well, that's between them and their, the medical professionals and God, but not while this is my child under my care and under my authority. And to have authorities then say, well, then we're going to take your child because you're a stupid parent by refusing your child gender-affirming care. This sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? Because if we don't let your child do this, your child's going to commit suicide. We're trying to protect your child. Yeah, that's why you got so many lawsuits and all kinds of expressions of outrage and remorse and disgust by all the people who now have regrets for having been used as children to advance this sick ideology. Because now that they're adults and they realize I made a mistake that has ruined me for the rest of my life, women who want to have children and can't because of what they allowed to be done to their bodies, men who want to get married and have children, but they can't because of what they allowed to be done to their bodies. Well, no, not what they allowed, what the adults in the room allowed. And now we're being told the same thing. Oh, you can't let this child be counseled and prayed for and helped to come to grips with his or her true sexual identity as created by Almighty God. You can't do that. You got to let this child, right? And what is a child by definition? A child by definition is incapable of making the most important life decisions because he or she, A, doesn't have the life wisdom and experience and maturity, and B, we're even told scientifically that their brains are not fully developed until they're in about their mid-20s. But you're going to allow a child, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, to make these life-altering decisions that can never be reversed for a lifetime. And then tell a parent who says no, you're a terrible parent. Well, this is Ketanji Brown. That's who she is. Now, I say she's dumb. That's one way of describing it. I could also say it this way. She has bought into the cult, lock, stock, and barrel. She is the person who puts on the sneakers and drinks poison because a comet's going by, and that comet is their vehicle to the next dimension. But the only way to get to, you know what I'm talking about, the Heaven's Gate cult, that vehicle's the only way to get to that vehicle and go to the next dimension is you got to kill yourself. But first you got to put on these sneakers, you got to put on this uniform, and then you lay down and you kill yourself, and then you go to the next dimension. You join this ship that's come for you. And I don't mean to laugh at the people who are that so demonically deceived, but that's what cult-like thinking does. It makes you so completely irrational that you become suicidal, either literally or metaphorically suicidal. Well, that's Ketanji Brown Jackson. Except if allowed to do it, she would basically push suicide on the culture. Because that's what that is. That is cultural suicide to buy into this craziness. And thank God the Supreme Court, by 8-1, has finally said, you know what? That's wrong. It's just wrong. So thank God. And by the way, the Supreme Court is about to hear the birthright citizenship case. Now, I don't know how they're going to rule on that. Let me predict, though, and then we'll see whether I'm wrong or right about this. I predict that the Supreme Court is going to rule that because of the wording of the Constitution itself, that the only way to stop a person born within the territory of the United States of America, the only way to stop that person from being a citizen is to have a constitutional amendment that clarifies what it means to be under the jurisdiction of the United States of America, or to simply clarify how one becomes a citizen by birth. And by the way, I have a proposed constitutional amendment that deals with that issue, which will be obsolete if the Supreme Court rules no, birthright citizenship does not mean that by virtue of being born here, even if you don't have parents who are citizens, by virtue of being born within the territorial confines of the United States of America, you are automatically a citizen. I don't believe that that's what the founding fathers intended at all. I believe they use this wording based upon their own orientation at that time, which was, we have to clarify, well, I should say the founding fathers, actually, because it was a later group of leaders in our country, because this didn't happen until after the Civil War. But they had to clarify that all the Africans who had come to this country, and by that time had been in our country for over, many of them had been in our country for over, well over 200 years, that they're citizens of the United States of America. I mean, that everybody born here is a citizen of the United States. And by that time, since the slave trade, the African slave trade had long since ended, all the people of African ancestry born in our country, I mean, all the African people of African ancestry in our country had been born here. We didn't have any at that point that had been brought here from Africa. They'd all been born here. And that's what the crafters of the 14th Amendment were trying to resolve once and for all. They didn't realize at that point that what 150 years later, they would be opening up a Pandora's box would be opened that would lead to all kinds of bad results as because of people taking advantage of the language like Communist China and others You know, you get a woman here, she drops a baby, that baby's a citizen. Ah, we got a way in. And that child is then entitled to everything the United States of America has to offer, because that child is an American citizen. Now you can take that child on back to China and inculcate that child, indoctrinate that child in all the communist ways, and send that child back to America as an American citizen. And if that child holds true to the faith of communism, boy, that child can cook. That child can do tremendous damage, and can do it all as an American citizen. I mean, China's been the biggest perpetrator, because that's what it is—a perpetration. It's a crime, in my view, of what they call vacation birthright citizenship. Send women here on vacation, let them drop a baby, and boom, you got a whole coterie. You know, China has a group here called, I think it's called United China Citizens. I don't know what the thing is. But this group is the group that is fighting to make sure that China can buy property in the United States of America whenever and wherever they want. And we know where they want it. They want our farmland. They want property that is right next to some of our most sensitive military and national security installations. And this group of Chinese nationals in our country, they're fighting to make sure they can. For all we know, these could be birthright kids that China has used to do exactly what I've just described. I predict that the Supreme Court is going to say the only way out of it is a constitutional amendment. And I have one, by the way. In fact, it's on our website. If you go to our website, standamerica.us, and click on, here we go. Well, the first thing you'll come to is our Stand Awards dinner. But let me see, if you click on sign the petition, and it's called the Anchor Baby Scam Petition. Here's all it says. Any biological child of an American citizen born anywhere in the world shall be an American citizen. No person born in any state, territory, or the District of Columbia of the United States of America shall be an American citizen by birth unless at least one biological parent of such child is an American citizen. Boom. That's it. So you can be born in the center of the country. What's that? I think that's Kansas. Or is it Kansas City? That's kind of the central point of the country. You can be born right there. But if you don't have at least one parent who is a citizen of the United States of America, you are not a citizen of this country. End of discussion. That may be where we have to go. I call it the End Anchor Baby Scam Petition. Because that's what we need to clarify. Then once, by the way, if you go to our website, you can sign up for that and you can sign the petition. I predict that the Supreme Court's going to say that's what you're going to have. Because it is not, we cannot. Do you realize how many people born to illegal aliens, born to Chinese nationals, born to whomever, born in this country, have citizenship? Do you realize what that would do? That would throw their citizenship into question. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to go that far. And frankly, I wish they would. And we'll deal with the fallout and the aftermath. But I wish they would, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to have a constitutional amendment, and I've just proposed one. So you can go to our website and sign off on that. And we haven't had a chance to really push that campaign, but we believe that after we get through the 250th, we will be able to go all in. And in fact, if the Supreme Court comes down the way I predict they will and say, we don't have any choice, this is the way it goes, that's the point at which we will launch this petition and really in earnest and say, well, it is time then for the country to get behind this constitutional petition, constitutional amendment. So there you have it. Okay, we got a number of other things in the time I've got left, a number of other things that I want to get to. You know, there is in our country, we know we've witnessed the rise of anti-Semitism breaking out on college campuses across this nation. But you know, it's more hidden, but in my view, it's just as real and just as pernicious. There is an anti-Christian prejudice that is just running rampant throughout the country. And let me tell you, folks, this is what makes it so dangerous. It is primarily happening behind closed doors in ways that are hard to identify. Now, we've had a couple of instances where it's sort of come to the surface, but I guarantee you, these are anomalies. For the most part, it happens under the surface where people can't really see it. One is, I'm sure you all have heard this guy, Jaden Ivey, has been released from the Bulls. First, he was dismissed from the team he was working for, picked up by the Bulls, and now released by the Bulls because of his, quote, anti-gay comments. Now, what are those anti-gay comments? Comments like, everybody comes with their own personal opinions, right? That's one of his colleagues commenting. Because I want to give you his quote so you can judge it for yourself. Here we go. The Bulls said my conduct is detrimental to the team. Why didn't they just say we don't agree with his stance on LGBTQ? Why didn't they say How is it conduct detrimental to the team? What did I do to the team? What did I do to the players? Now that's his response to the punishment, really, that they forced on him. Here's what he said. The world proclaims LGBTQ, right? They proclaim Pride Month, and the NBA does too. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride Month to celebrate unrighteousness. They proclaim it on the billboards. They proclaim it on the streets. Unrighteousness. Now I ask you, how is that detrimental to the team? How is that detrimental to his fellow players? Folks, I have said things much, much harsher than that. And the Bible speaks against homosexuality in a much, much harsher way than that. I mean, all you got to do is go to Romans 1. And so now, by the way, this man has now lost his livelihood because he spoke against homosexuality. I don't want to get too deep into this, but this begs a refresher on what the Bible actually says about homosexuality. And of course, there are many, many references aside from Romans chapter 1. But I ask you, which is, shall we say, more harsh, more direct, what the Bible says, or what this guy Ivy said? What the Bible says is, beginning at verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile or vain, as the old King James says, in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then the 24th verse goes on to say, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. 26th verse, For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now I ask you, well, that's vile passion. Shameful. The penalty of their error, which was due. That to me is a whole lot harsher than what Jaden Ivey said. So really what they're trying to do is censor God. That's really what they're trying to do. Because if what Jaden Ivey said, oh, that's detrimental to the team. That's detrimental to his fellow players. That's detrimental to us all. Well, I guess the Bible is the ultimate detrimental book. Because what the Bible says about this is a lot harsher than that, than what he said. And look, not only that, as I said, I don't have time to go through all of this in detail. But what I can tell you is that the Bible roundly, decisively, unapologetically condemns homosexuality. So therefore, this whole LGBTQ nonsense from a biblical point of view is just wicked and evil. He's called unrighteousness, which is fairly mild. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now that uses the word unrighteous. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the Bible says, you're not going to heaven. So forgive me for just agreeing with what the Bible says, but you name some of these commentators on television, and what the Bible says, you're not going to heaven, buddy. You might think you are, but you're not. I said, when, you know, Fox News comes on and says, we can't have women, guys playing on women's teams. And, you know, oh, look, we are so committed to a righteous standard. And then the next step. And so we're going to have, Bruce Jenner calls himself. But we're going to have, and then her, we're going to have her come on and comment on this. I mean, talk about being double-minded. Because Bruce Jenner, thinking he's a woman and taking on a woman's name, is just as wicked and vile as having a man go get on a girl's team and think that he's got a right to be in the girl's locker room, in the girl's shower, buck naked, showing himself to these women. One is just as wrong as the other. So I don't know how in the world. I think Jaden Ivey did his teammates a favor by reminding them of the standards of Almighty God. But of course, we know that that's not what they want to hear today. So he's lost his livelihood. A Louisville coffee shop. It looks like, I'm going to say Haney, H-E-I-N-I-E. There's another pronunciation, but I won't even bother. Organic Fair Trade Coffee fired one of their workers explicitly because when a discussion about marriage came up, the worker explicitly affirmed a biblical view of marriage and sexuality, and they fired the person and said they were firing the person because of their religious views. Now, they were dumb enough to say it, but here's what I want to get to. You know what they do mostly? They're not dumb enough to say it. They say, oh, well, you just don't fit in. Oh, well, your work has not been up to par. Oh, well, we need to lay off some workers right now. And they find other excuses to get rid of a Christian who is espousing a biblical worldview or has done so, but they know they might get hit with a lawsuit because they're violating that person's fundamental First Amendment rights when they do that, so they avoid that. So a lot of times Christians are not getting the promotion, they're not getting the advancement, they're not getting the job, or they're getting fired or laid off from the job, and they think it's because the job has judged their performance to be not up to par, or for whatever reason, when the real reason is that they've been, in effect, outed, if I may use that term, as believers in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And I believe this is happening all over America today. But most of these corporate executives and others are too smart to be explicit about why they're getting rid of these people, because they know that that is going to get them in trouble, so they find other justifications. We just have to believe God that when He opens doors, no one can close them, and that no matter what they try to do to stop us as believers, God is going to see us through. But I'll tell you, I admire Ivy, and look, I don't know that everything he said was... He just got converted apparently not too long ago. And the thing we have to do is give these new Christians a little grace, not be too quick to elevate them to iconic status, but give them a little bit of grace and see how that happens, how things unfold from there, and pray that they will have godly disciplers, mentors who can help them to grow and help them to mature into the disciples that God has really called them to be. You know, because people can have a zeal not according to knowledge. But what I just read you, that's mild. He got fired for it. What this person apparently said at this cafe, this coffee cafe, basically just expressing an opinion after somebody else brought up the discussion and got fired for it. There is an anti-Christian sentiment and prejudice that is running rampant in many parts of the culture. See, this is why I no longer cotton to professional sports, because that's what it's produced. Professional sports are carriers of cultural poison now. Homosexuality, celebrating all that nonsense, and as I've said, you know, Roger Goodell, as far as I'm concerned, Roger Goodell is an icon of wickedness. He didn't choose Bad Bunny because he thought Bad Bunny was the baddest bunny in town. He chose Bad Bunny because he thinks like him. He's a reprobate. I said, that's why these people justify all these politicians who justify all this stuff. That's why they do it, folks. They do it because they're reprobates like the people that they're justifying. But the Bible says that they condemn me. Of course, you know, he's a hater. He's a bigot. He's like they do this kid Ivy. He's anti-gay. The Bible says he that condemns the righteous and justifies the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. In other words, they should be affirming me and condemning these people who are pushing all this sexual deviancy on our culture. You know, and the interesting thing, I have the utmost sympathy for the person who grapples with wrong sexual impulses. I mean, in terms of sexual attractions, you know what I mean? And knows it's not in keeping with God's plan and purpose for their lives, and they want help. I have the utmost sympathy for that person. I have no sympathy for the person who's decided, you know, people like Bishop E.W. Jackson and others are haters and bigots, and we need to shut them up. We need to censor them so we can transform the culture into some kind of pro-sexual deviancy culture. a culture of sexual libertinism. I have no sympathy for them. I have no sympathy for people who say, well, I'm not trying to do that, but I'm happy, you know, I'm happy in my same-sex relationship. I have no sympathy for them either. Because even though they might not be out there protesting against Christianity, they are lying to themselves and lying to people because there's nothing happy, nothing normal, and nothing right about the way they're living. I don't care whether they're conservative or not. They're still wrong. And by the way, I wouldn't trust them either. If a person claimed to be conservative, like Bruce Jenner, he's some kind of conservative, and we're supposed to be so glad to have him as an ally. Not me. Not me. I don't make alliances with the wicked. Now, doesn't mean I hate you. I pray for you. But you can't help me. You need to help yourself. So, and folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It really is. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And we need to be diligent and vigilant and on our guard. I was speaking to a group not too long ago, and I was telling them, look, the left is unabashed and unashamed of their wickedness. We have to be equally unabashed and unashamed of our righteousness. Because our righteousness is not our own. It has come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't sit before this microphone and in front of this camera acting like, oh, look at me. Look how great. Look how righteous I am. Let me break my arm, patting myself on the back. No, no. But by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And if I can go back and finish that text I just read you, I read you the 9th and the 10th verses, but guess what the 11th verse says? It says, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it goes on to say, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. See, that's what makes the difference. It's not that we ourselves are so good. We're so righteous. Oh, look at us. Oh, how wonderful we are. No. But we have been redeemed. We have been changed. And our perspective now does not come from any self-righteousness. It comes from the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm never going to apologize to people for believing the word of God and proclaiming it with boldness and forthrightness and without apology. Because God's not apologizing, and neither am I. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. If you want to know more, if, by the way, want to take advantage of those tickets to our Stand Awards dinner, again, you can go to standamerica.us or email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. Thank you. Thank you, AFR Network. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Walker. Thank you to the Wildman family. Thank you to American Family Association for being such wonderful friends and supporters. And we want to be a blessing to you. So if you'd like to come, you can get your free tickets to come. Just take advantage of it, okay? The least we can do to say thank you to all of you who have been such a blessing to us. Well, I've got to go. You know what you need to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everyone.